What is good, y'all? It is your boy, Jonathan Dumas, back in your ears. Happy New Year. Hope you had a safe one with loved ones, or if you just chilled at the house, that is wonderful too. Shout out to the homebodies out there, because that's what me and Lindsay did. We just chilled because we were so tired. Truthfully, I wanted to be done with the Entrepreneuring While BIPOC series in 2023. Like I had a plan and everything like that. What happened was, and maybe you could still hear it, I got probably one of the worst colds I've had in a very long time. I was out, and I thought I actually was about to miss Christmas because it happened right before the holidays and everything like that. I said, you know what? Rest is important. Shout out Reg, who also got sick too. We just said, hey, we'll just push it into the new year. So we have two more episodes. I really do hope you enjoyed listening and hearing from Brianna. That was just such a fun episode. Yeah, like I told y'all, she just dropped that wisdom, dropped those nuggets. Incredible, incredible human being. And I truly loved listening back to that episode. But this week, we are going to tune into my friend Betty, which is continuing that trend of like wisdom, stillness, peace, gems on gems on gems. I thought that this would be a cool episode to start the year on. And she's also a fellow coach. So I'm really excited for you to check in with them in this conversation. Now, I'm still honestly recovering from this cold. Like I'm telling y'all don't want this cold, whatever's going around, because I'm like still congested and I got sick like two weeks ago. So there is no highly visible story of the week, but I am working on something because as of this recording, Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, actually resigned, I think a couple days ago. So I'm going to do that in the final episode and try and do a deeper dive because I haven't really read up on it and I don't want to just speak on something I haven't really read up on. With that, I want to talk really quickly about, you know, podcast logisticals. I don't know how to like jazz this up and make this like interesting, to be honest with y'all. It really is just like, you know, hey, support the show. And there's several ways to support the show. That's financially, which is our Patreon page and our Ko-fi page. Subscribing to the show, reviewing the show, sharing the show, that really, really helps. And then finally, signing up for our email list that we're getting going this year, where you'll be up to date on new episodes dropping, all the cool things that are happening with the pod. And we are going to be dropping merch. I know I've been saying that for like the last year, but we're legit going to be dropping merch this year. I've been toying around with, you know, obviously, like I said, stickers when you sign up for the email list. But I made a mouse pad, and I think I'm going to make that an actual thing, some t-shirts, stuff like that. So if you sign up for the email list, you'll know about those things and all the other dope things that we're going to be doing this year because I got time, I got plans, and I'm really, really excited to get that going. But anyways, y'all, that is enough for me. Now on to this wonderful conversation with my friend Betty Chan. Betty, welcome. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
I'm glad to be here. I genuinely am. As you know, I always look forward to our conversations. As for how I am, man, I usually take longer with this question, but you and I talked about it actually before we got on air. I feel like the word is like slumping, yeah, but not in a bad way. In kind of like this cozy way, you know, when you get in a couch and you like just slump down into it. That's kind of the vibe I'm feeling, because I know the days are getting shorter. It always has had an effect on me in terms of like my productivity and my awareness of time and how it passes. But I came from a corporate background, which means Q4 is the ramp up period. So like my body is fighting that hard right now. So the tension between feels like in comparison is a bit slumpy. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Slumpy is a good word. For some reason, the image of my mind, for me, it's like almost like clumpy. Like if we're looking at clay, it's not quite round. So I feel like if I'm rolling down a hill, I'm just like bouncing around. And it feels like I'm making progress, but it just feels like I'm just, it's not a smooth ride. That's kind of like the, it's not a smooth ride. I think that's the feeling I have. And what's interesting is I'm coming out of a busy time and, you know, like a lot of stuff with work, which is all fun stuff. Really, really love it. But I was so busy. And then my mom recently got married. Mm-hmm. And so literally this past weekend, and I officiated that. Congrats. And Lance coordinated it. So it was very, very busy. Yeah, super fun. We're really excited. That was like hyper anxious time for me because I wanted everything to be perfect for my mom. And then back-to-back travel, all this stuff. We've talked about this before, just so much travel and everything like that. I feel like I am, what's the word? I feel like I should be ramping down. Mm-hmm. I should be like relaxing, calming down, but it is not a smooth ride. The other image I have is like bad breaks. Like I just have some bad breaks going into it. So that's what it feels like. Actually, that's a more accurate like image that comes to mind, like just horrible breaks going into the stop sign. So that's how I feel.
You actually remind me of an analogy I've used.
Yeah. Everything's fine,
like, yeah. After like yeah. whenever you get ready for vacation, it's like full speed work, crunch everything in, and then you're like, oh shit, I got the exit lane over there, and you're like forcing the brake to get there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels spot on right now.
Yeah, just like skidding along the thing. Yeah. Which I think is so interesting because in the cohort, because that's how we met, like oftentimes we've talked about like how do we want to do things differently. Mm-hmm. How do we want to change things and like operate in a way that's like counter to hustle culture yes. or hyper productivity or capitalism and so on and so forth. And I just find myself like, even as we've talked, even off before we started recording, is like, it is like a discipline to like unlearn mm-hmm. all of those things and ways that we've been socialized to mm-hmm. work. And like my body still feels so many different things. And I'm like, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, you know, 8-to-5 schedule or,
yes.
you know,
yeah,
like Monday through Friday, whatever it is. It's just, it's so odd. How do you have similar things? Well, you mentioned a little bit, but do you have similar feelings? Kind of how do you navigate yeah. that for yourself?
I mean, the unlearning is real. Like that is commitment. That is something like I've committed to. Of just like, hey, do I have to do it this way? Do we all have to do it this way? And, you know, something I realized like 2 years being in my own practice is like I have been afforded some distance. So now when I hear friends who are still in that 9-to-5 grind, and this is not from a place of pity, but just like a place of appreciation, like wow, that does sound like pure ludicrous that you are driving yourselves nonstop into the ground. For a deadline that more or less is made up by a combination of people and the assumptions they have about each other's needs. Because no one's actually, I'm pretty sure we asked everyone, as I've asked my clients before, I'm like, do you really need this? Like, do you want to sacrifice 18 nights of sleep to get to this deadline? The answer is usually like, no, actually, we don't need to do this. But for them, it's so real, yep. right? It's like the goldfish analogy, like it's the water that they're in. They don't see it. That's like the only way that they know. And I'm just coming to learn and relearn while unlearning that like change and shedding all this takes time. And something that I usually tell myself to like invite that patience out is like, I've been in that environment. I've been in that water for 10 to 15 years and I've only been in this water for 2 years. Mm. So there's a reason why one feels like it's taking precedent over the other. So that's kind of my commitment, how I think about it.
Yeah, a thing that I've just like been saying, but I don't know if I've actually, I don't know, let it sit or let it breathe or like try and ponder over it too much is that like urgency truly is like, it's not real, it's made up, right? Like, and I think that folks hear that and they're like, yeah, that's true. Or they're like, no, like urgency. But no, truly, like just as you said, these deadlines, these timelines, these things, like ultimately, like it can wait, it can get pushed back, but there's just like all these competing things that are like creating this time, creating this urgency, creating this like feeling that we have to do this when we really, really don't. And so like the people that ultimately are impacted by that are the people that have less agency, that have less autonomy, that have less decision-making power, right? It's like they actually feel the impact of what's actually happening. And so more times than not that, like in my working experience in the last like 10-ish years, I've been the one that's been on the receiving end of those things. And very few times I've been in a position where I'm like, you know what, actually it doesn't matter. It's like, I've even finding myself now when I am feeling that level of urgency and having to do and vacations coming up and everything like that. I'm learning to ask the question, like, does it actually have to, like, I'm the one, does it actually have to drop right now? Right. Yeah. You know, cause is the stress worth it dropping when I said that this was going to drop a month or a month and a half ago when I didn't know that all these other things were going to pop up, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
And that's a big part of like the permission to change our mind, the permission to change course, and like the compassionate way of looking at it is exactly as you said. I'm like, old Betty, old Jonathan didn't have the same information as Betty and Jonathan of today. So like that version of us was making the best decision they can, but may not be the wisest decision that we can be making today with new information. So that's been another way to like unlearn, like, okay, I don't have to be the project manager that I've been for 10 years and be like, oh, we promised this in a scope, like this is bullet number 2B on a scope that we wrote 2 years ago, and somehow we're still beholding ourselves to this, even though everything around us has changed, right? So like trying to apply that to what it's like to be in our own business right now. And what you said earlier of like always being on the receiving end, like that was most of my experience too, of like not being the person in the decision-making seat to do that. But we are now, which is the cool thing to relearn and be like, yes, actually I have a much nicer boss nowadays and he'll let me go ahead and do this thing. And like, I don't need to have it by Friday.
In that same vein of like new knowledge and new understanding of self, what I've revealed, and shout out my therapist, is that like I brought something to him and I said, I don't know why I'm talking to you about this again, right? Like, I don't know why I thought I was through this. I thought I was more processed this. And he shared with me that like, Jonathan, I just want you to like be okay with like the process, right? Because the more processed you are, the more navigating all these things, ultimately you're going to become aware of all the other things that you did not know that you were holding, carrying, or were about you. And I just had like I had a realization in the last couple of weeks that like I have, now that I have another level of awareness of myself, of what my values are and what's truly important to me in the spaces I want to be in, I've recognized in me that like my body has literally started to have like trauma responses to things that were very easy to me before, and now that they're not. So for example, like when I, This is the instance. So I lead like some DEI facilitations, right? And I'm very good at it. It's really fun to me. But I get, at the beginning of this year, I started getting really, really anxious before leading them. I could feel in my body that it was like something was like a dread. It was a dread. I don't want to do this. And I finally was able to pinpoint it. It took 11 months. Wow. But it was like, I'm operating out of alignment with myself. Like it feels like I'm pretending because I can't show up in a way that is authentic, to me in the spaces that I actually want to be in. And so, what that means is that I'm leading these DEI conversations for mostly white people, and it's actually exhausting and tiring for me to do that because I feel like I have to put on a mask because like I can't let my frustration show or annoyance show, quote unquote. Because of like, why are we still talking about this now? Right. Why am I bringing up basic information to you now? Like I'm exhausted. This is like, why am I doing this? And it feels like I'm operating out of alignment and not being my true authentic self of like, y'all need to get your shit together. Right. So I think that was the thing that I was thinking about. It's like, yeah, we didn't know what we didn't know before, but also in that growth, there's like greater alignment that happens as we come closer and closer to, I guess, true self, on this journey called life.
Hashtag cliche. Hashtag the real stuff that we all go for outside of movies.
Yeah.
But wow, like I think there's something that like stands out to me in that share is like, oh, so the thing that was causing that discomfort for you, or that out of alignment sensation, is not the facilitation. Because like if I've been there and I think I had the thought of like, oh, am I no longer good at this? Or something along the lines where the deficiency was on me, right? Versus, oh, this is actually, this is the intuition that I need to listen to that tells me this is not for me, not right now, not this season. Doesn't mean not forever, but it's just not in alignment with who I am today at this moment. And that's a powerful thing to listen to.
Betty, we've been talking for like 10 minutes and I haven't even given you an opportunity to introduce yourself. See, this is actually how conversations this is actually how conversations go every single time we talk. Hella philosophical and deep and all this other stuff. So
well, I hope people listening already know the more important things about me.
Oh my gosh. Betty Chan, the authenticity coach. Like this is how we show up. Betty, I would love for folks to know you, know what you do, know who you are. So however you want to answer that question, I just want to give you the floor.
I love this. I'm just like stretched out a bit. I like rolled my shoulders. I'm like, okay, I can take up some space here.
Yes. Yes, please do.
Well, I start here not so much because it's the biggest part of my identity, but it's like how you and I have met, right? Being an authenticity coach. I'm also a facilitator. So feel you on the facilitator pains that you mentioned as well. And I'm also a speaker, all three on the topic of authenticity, because that is one of the hills I want to die on when I'm like 99, if I ever live to that age of like looking back and like, this is the thing I championed through and through. And a huge part of why that's big for me is because I'm a daughter, I'm an only child of an immigrant family. So I'm first generation American born. So my way to go to college, to hold a job that's not blue collar, and at that point starting my own business. So much of this journey required a sort of like confidence that comes from within, which I would have never admitted to having even just 2 years ago. In fact, I've gone through things where like my confidence was just completely taken out from under me. But just realizing that that is a true source of energy in life, right? I don't mean to sound like, again, hashtag cliche, but I think the things we learn as like students, as children, as like just professionals, it's like we keep looking externally for shit to validate us. And I'm just kind of over it. So like just so many parts of me. So like, yes, authenticity coach, daughter, caretaker. I have a lot of elders in my family. So it's a huge part of my identity nowadays. For a moment, not so much this year, but I would like to bring this back. I was a furniture flipper. So really getting my hands back to fixing furniture, giving them a second life, because I love that. And identity I've also put down for a little while that I want to bring back is being a boxer. I boxed for 10 years. It was like the life and soul and drumbeat of my life for a while. And I need it back. I really do.
Nice. Well, I want to make sure I plug your furniture, like Insta, because like the furniture designs were incredible. If me and Lens were on the East Coast, we have about 4 or 5 things that we for sure would have asked to get a flip in here. So good. Like so good. And then I did not know 10 years. That's like legit. Like, legit boxing. Did you ever get into the ring?
No, I did not. I did sparring on the side and everything else. But everything just short of it, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. No, I trained mixed martial arts for a good amount of my life too. So I love it. Folks wouldn't imagine. And they're like, oh, like you're so, I'm like, nope. Nobody wants to do that with me. Yeah, and same with Betty, you know, knock you right the fuck out.
You may look gentle and nice, but beware.
I know. There's so much underneath. You have no idea how much it took to get here. So, Betty, for you, you know, we were talking earlier about how being a project manager for like 10 to 15-ish years, like doing this work, and even, you know, the first to launched your own business. And both of us know how risky that is. Mm-hmm. Both of us know how scary mm-hmm. that is, especially we don't really have somebody to look to who's done it yeah. before us, right, in this capacity. I'm curious for you, what sparked in you that like you wanted to do something on your own? Not even just entrepreneur, like business owner, but like what in you was like, you know what, I want to do this thing. Like what started that yeah. for you?
The two words come to mind, push and pull. So I would say it's more than one mm-hmm. sole reason, which is probably true of most transitions and pivots in our life. I actually, despite having a career of 10 years in project management, when I was at my most senior position, I received a performance improvement plan that felt incredibly out of the blue. Long story short, happy to share that in detail at another time. But I was at the end of that PIP, I was told, we want you to step off from this position. I heard that as you're not good enough for the job. But the kicker and the, I would say what was unique about my experience was that despite being handed down that decision, and I do say handed down because despite all my efforts, it didn't feel like I had any say or any word in it, was that I stayed in that role for almost 3 more years until I decided to leave. So they never put up a job description. They never actually took any actions to kind of bring in a replacement after telling me that they don't want me in that role. So that's what I meant earlier of like, that really knocked the confidence out of me and who I was. And I think just being in that really painful place of like, and like facing that alone, because so much about the PIP process in corporate world is like, hush, hush, like, don't tell anyone this. You don't have to tell anyone this. And we know as coaches, things that you don't shine a light on tends to breed shame, right? And that brought a lot of that shame for me. Mm-hmm. So I was just in a really painful place, and I held out for 3 years, which is in hindsight, incredible resilience. And also a little bit of judging my past self of like, damn girl, you really know how to suffer. Like you just do not bow out. Like, come on. But I wised up eventually, and just realized like kind of what we said earlier, this isn't the way it has to be. So it was actually a coach and a coaching program that helped me finally realize that and just like reframe and flip a lot of those beliefs I held true for myself into a different lens that was much more empowering. And that was when I realized I'm like, okay, so I've always had things about me that people have rejected again and again in the professional setting, never in the personal setting, that is who I am, is what I bring. But now I finally found something in a space that appreciates me for it, sees me for it, and wants to use me for that. And that was coaching. And that gave me that pull sensation of like, oh, I can actually contribute in a space just by being myself rather than constantly trying to force myself to be something else. So yeah, trying to run away from a very long-standing pain of feeling not good enough to a place of like, oh, wow, there could be a place for me. It may not be the only place, but it's a place that feels at least new and I can start anew.
3 years is that's a long ass gap. yeah. And yeah, it's interesting that after that 3 years, after you obviously received coaching, that there was like, that was like the push for you. Because like when I hear you say like, yeah, that was a big like confidence knock. Cause I remember like the big confidence knock that I had in my career journey of just, it wasn't good. Yeah. I just remember second year as an admissions counselor and just like things were not clicking. I was miserable, exhausted, tired, poor. worked us mm-hmm. so many hours and then not. Yeah. I think I was making like $39,000 a year. Oof. As a salary position, I guess, but yeah, just not good. And so I think, I remember that. And like, it took me a while to like, even like come back, but you started a business after that. What was like your support system as you navigated and transitioned into that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because like we don't do this shit alone. Doesn't ever happen alone. I would say in addition to the coaching program that I went through, I also had like a personal coach who, bless her, held a lot of space for all my tears. Every week I came in and I was like, let me get a whole box of napkins ready, because this is going to happen. The waterworks are going to show up. But her being able to hold that for me and me feeling like, oh, I can be a blubbering mess and still find insight and still find clarity. That was a huge, that was just like a beautiful thing to experience. So that was a huge part of my support system, my therapist, but also just like closer to home, I had a partner and friends who gave zero judgments when I finally mentioned that, like, I want to leave and this is what I want to do. And I think there was a little part of me that like was secretly waiting for everyone to be like, you're crazy, Betty, this is not safe for you. Like, don't do this. I was waiting for someone to say that. And even my parents didn't say that. All I heard was, you know, we've seen you hold up a lot. Like, if this is a choice you make, then this is the way to go. And I'm getting emotional just reliving it. Yeah.
That's incredible. And I think the part that you'd said that like gets me is that you were waiting for, and I'm connecting it back to something you actually said earlier. It's like, you were waiting for somebody to tell you like, no, it's not a good idea. Stay where you are. And then, but earlier you said like, we've been like, oftentimes we're in these positions where we don't have much power and we're just like being tugged and pulled and told that, you know, what we're supposed to do and waiting for somebody to approve what we're doing. But you like did this, decided to do it, and you did it anyways. And everybody was like, had your dad going back. And it's just like, that's just amazing. I feel very similar, Betty. I was just like, anytime that somebody asked me about like being a business owner and entrepreneur, and I told my mom, tell my friends, they're like, yeah, like, I don't get like that pushback. Like, I'm waiting for it. I'm like, is anybody going to think that I'm like silly, wild? They're like, nah, like it makes sense. Yes, like
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. They might not get the vision. They might not get the vision or understand what I'm talking about, but they're like, hey, you know what? I've seen you do your thing. It's going to work out. And I'm just like, all right, that's really, there's a awesomeness to that. And I love the level of support and belief that folks have in me. And maybe this is my inner critic. And so maybe Coach Betty can help me out with this. But but there's a part of me that actually wanted the pushback so that like there's like some kind of like fight. Like, I don't know if the fight is the right word, but like I think it's like like I wanted somebody to be like, nah, like I don't like, tell me more. Like, what is that? Like, what does that mean? I wanted that. Like, I really wanted that. I think I'm thankful again for the people that are in my life that encouraged me, that pushed me, that believe in me. But I think to some extent, I wanted some folks to be like, what does that mean? How are you going to do that? What's going on? Not like in a negative way, but like really like, what's constructive critique, like something like that. So I can like stand on my stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I'm rubbing my hands and like, this is so juicy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And this is nowhere near Coach Betty. So I'm just going to be friend Betty right now.
Whichever one shows up, I'm down. Whichever one shows up, so, I don't know.
Because we talked about our love for the fight, right? Boxing, martial arts. I think there's a certain personality that's attracted to that type of fitness and workout as well. My theory, and you let me know if this is in your space, is no pain, no gain is a huge underlying belief. Meaning that if no one's going to fight us for this and we're not fighting for this, then we can't actually gain this new life for ourselves. Like, we haven't gone through almost like a weird rite of passage that's like fiery. If it's not fiery, we're not actually reaching the end of our destination. Which, to add to that, this conversation is making me realize, in the absence of that externally, I have ended up being in that fight with myself oftentimes, right? Like, yep. My inner judgments and my inner judges are the ones who are like, Betty, like, get on the podium and like, prove to me why you need to do this, justify this for us. Mm. Yeah. But is that how it feels like for you? It's okay, but it's not.
No, it does. Nope, it does, because most of my life, like, I've had to like, prove people wrong, do the thing. And even though like nobody's never necessarily said that, but it was like almost like that MJ like thing was like, I took that personally, you know, where like I didn't get the recognition or like somebody didn't see me or something like that. Like, I would take it personally and I would just like be incredible. I'd be amazing. I'd be Jonathan. And like, I think what's interesting is that like folks will see me do the things that I'm doing and think that it's just like easy. I don't know. I'm getting emotional right now. It just feels like this pressure that if this thing ain't gonna be like perfect or like it is incredible or like I hold live up to that standard, whatever standard that is, which is actually really my impossibly high standards for myself, then all of that belief, all that knowing that this is gonna work out from everybody else around me was for naught. And I personally don't know what to do with that. And to your point, what you said earlier is like, I'm constantly trying to prove to myself every single day that I can do this, that I'm doing the right thing. And before we got on, we were talking about like, you know, there's a lot of like, when I was saying like, you know, outreach to get on other people's pods and talk about career joy, is just like, this doesn't feel like work. It's not producing money. Like, what am I doing? But like, that's a part of it. Posting on LinkedIn, that's a part of it. Like all these different things that just feel monotonous and tedious and whatever. It's all a part of it. But it doesn't feel like a big enough of a fight. Like it doesn't feel like I'm pushing hard enough. But then the counter to that is like, I want to do something different. I don't want to hustle. I don't want to be hyperproductive. I want to rest. I want to be with the people that are around me. I want to build something that lasts, build something that is full of joy, and something that feels like Jonathan and not like something I've seen on online. Sorry, there's a lot there, but that's just like what comes up for me as you say that. But that's on point of what you said.
You're bringing a question to mind. The sense I get, at least from my side of the street, is like so often the fight is from a defensive position, right? Just again, thinking back to like pre-entrepreneur days when we're working that 8 to 5, 9 to 5, where so much of that proving is because someone else external, like a boss or a client or something along those lines, asking us to just justify why we're there and why we're valuable. Now I'm curious, like the difference now is that we have the space to choose. So my question to you is, as an entrepreneur, if you had to choose your fight, what would your fight be?
That is a very good question. Let me sit on that for a second. Hold on.
I'm going to ponder this for myself.
Yeah, because I was about to ask you. You gotta answer that. That's a really good one. That's a good one. What fight would I choose? I'm going to answer it this way, and I'm going to answer it this way. I'm not going to even qualify. So I don't know, and I think the reason why I don't know, and it's not easy, and I think I'm actually probably going to sit with that question for a while, is because I have never had the opportunity to choose my fights. Like you said, like I've been fighting defensively for so long that like I've never looked up and said, I want to like pick a fight with somebody. I've never like even in sparring, like they just set us up when I was like training mixed martial or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I would just show up and like do my best, you know, and just like, we'll see what happens. And so I, again, haven't been in many positions where I get to choose. And I think that's a level of privilege that I have now, in more recent years, that I'm still getting used to. I think to have like the space and time, one, also is a privilege, but space and time to think and ponder and do and choose. Yeah, I'm going to have to sit on that one because I don't have a ton of experience where I have this level of autonomy, this level of choice. In some respects, this level of power, given how I've grown up being Black and all these different things. But now that I'm in middle class and highly educated and all that stuff, it's like very, very different. And so Yeah. Betty, how about you? I know mine was like kind of.
No, I really like your answer because it's the honest one, right? And I think this question is hard to answer because it's like, it's akin to what's the hill you want to die on. It's akin to what is your life purpose. It's akin to all those bigger, scarier questions to have to answer. And I would also say I don't know, but I am in the process of feeling it out, and I feel closer than I've ever been in my life. I'm like, I don't know if this is the ramp that leads to the hill that I'm dying, or just dying on the slope. I don't know what's happening over here. But lately it's for me, it's just getting the world to really embrace gentleness, especially in the context of work and leadership, as like another viable, incredibly efficient option to be, right? As opposed to just the one cookie cutter version most of us, especially as like people of color working in predominantly white spaces, like we've only been shown one way. We've only been allowed to be one way. So it's interesting to see like, oh, what is, it doesn't, there's possibly even like 3, 4, 5 more versions of it. But the only one I'm able to see right now is how do we center and embrace gentleness as a powerful tool, not as like a pushover thing.
That, I know I said, I don't know. And I know you said you don't know, but I think that those are, but now that you had shared that about the gentleness, I think that, and even for myself, as like I'm doing Career Joy and what that means, I think that those are like those battles, and I'm just now like actually getting language for it. I didn't know that I was fighting too. And I use fighting. I wonder if there's another word, because like, the sense is it doesn't feel like fighting, because I'm not tussling with anybody. It really feels like more of an internal struggle or that more than anything. But I'm wondering, as we are sharing, convincing, striving toward, communicating, I don't know what the word is. There's a word somewhere. There's something in there. But doing this thing and sharing about, like, particularly for me, Career Joy, I think that there is a level of like, that might be my thing. That might be it. Because I think there's a lot of folks that, when I share about it, they're like, yeah, I want that. I'm like, yeah, I know you do. Not just because like it's a dope as fuck idea, but I think it's just like you want the essence of Career Joy, which is like this internal soul satisfying happiness connected both with you and what you do for work or occupation or whatever. The reason is because like you have been shown one way, you've been told one way. And I think what is cool about what we're talking about in regards to gentleness and joy is that this is another path. Like, and we're literally like, I'm just like, I'm seeing myself like literally like break away the brush and creating this new like trail. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's just me though.
I don't think you're alone in that. I wonder if it's pretty pervasive among everyone who identifies as an entrepreneur, but at least as the one person sitting across from me right now in this conversation, that feels true. And that feels like satisfying work. Right. And I hear you in the, like, it's not quite a fight because we're not fighting a known enemy. We're not fighting something that feels like in a shape that we typically know. But I guess when I use the word fight, it's more of, it's nodding more to the rigor that's necessary to keep pushing those bushes away so everyone else can see this path. Everyone else can easily see like, oh, there's another way. And it's up to them to choose, you know, they still have the choice on them, but like, we're just providing that different option and the ease to get to it.
Okay, I think I got it now. I think the language around fighting, the reason why it doesn't feel right to say fight is because before we had to fight, and like now we don't have to. So like I'm choosing to do Career Joy. I'm choosing to show people a different path. And so like this thing, it's not easy to create. There is like a level of difficulty to it, but it doesn't feel like a fight. It feels like work. It feels like I'm building something. Yeah. It feels like crafting. It feels like, it feels like I'm putting something together, which is like, it can be painstaking. It could be like exhausting. It could be all of these things that feel like a fight, but like, I'm not in conflict with anybody. I'm just doing the work and sharing it. So I think that that's why, because I'm like, I ain't fighting nobody, except myself, but that's me. I don't know. That feels closer. For me, at least. I'm just speaking for
myself. What I hear is like, it's the energy of like building and creation versus fighting, which does usually mean you're destroying and you're breaking down something, which maybe that the unlearning is what that nods to. But I agree. It feels much more like crafting and that creation.
Betty. So I think folks kind of get a sense of like you in this, but I would love for you to share with folks more specifically, like how you do what you do, you know, as an authenticity coach, with folks, for folks. You talked about gentleness. Like, I feel like folks can kind of get a sense of you in this conversation. But for those who are just like wondering, like, Betty, authenticity coach, like, what would you share with them? What would you say?
It's funny because like I'm so much more comfortable in that, like playing in that wide expanse of space and like coming back down, like, Betty, come back to earth with all of us. It's something I am still working on, but it's for folks who are interested in the conversation we're having today, like what I do is in the form of like private coaching, one-on-one coaching, right? So actually offering guidance that where I'm not in the driver's seat, our clients are the ones in the driver's seat. They are the ones choosing the next adventure we want to go on, but they're not doing that adventure and that journey by themselves, which we can get up all in our head. And that adds to the noise that already exists from external folks and external advice that we often get when we move through life. So the one-on-one coaching is really that dedicated space for folks to start sifting through that noise, making sense of that noise, or just letting it go outright so that they could hear more clearly what is that deeper desire that they have, right? So finding that confidence in knowing not just who they are and what shows up before you try to prove yourself, before you need to do anything or say anything, but also using that as a guidance to have confidence in where you're heading as well. So I akin my work to a lot of just like, we're creating a personal compass for my clients, right? To be able to walk into any situation, any challenge, and any trial and feel like, hey, I am empowered here and I can make a calm, clear, and connected choice. And I can do this because I now know what I bring. Undisputed. I don't need someone else to tell me or not tell me this. I know this to my core. I know where I'm stopping myself and owning up to that. Right, kind of a lot of what we talked about in the beginning, like those inner judgments are just part of being human, but like not letting them be in the driver's seat of our choices and how we show up. And just being able to just do things a different way, right? So I often find that like we could talk all day about something, but when we really try our hand at something, there's a magic that happens, right? Like when you're in practice of like, all right, you know, I say I don't really love hustle culture, but am I willing to actually change how my calendar looks like every season? Like right now in fall, like I realized something for myself is I hate coming out of a call when it's pitch dark outside. Like I just feel like I'm not doing right by myself at that point, and the importance of comfort and just like self-care at that point. So what that requires me to do in practice is actually changing my hours every fall and winter. To like, I just have less hours to work and more hours to slow down and do other things that are part of my life as well. So doing that initially was really scary because there were all these thoughts of like, oh, well, I can't do this. Then I'm not really working hard enough for my business. A lot of that old narrative came up, but being in that, like putting those practices in hand so that we could start to let that go. So my one-on-one coaching is about that. It's about identifying and then actually letting ourselves play and grow from that space as well.
The reason why, well, hold on, before I even ask the other question, you had mentioned, but right before you started this, to come back down to earth, I want to like, what would you say? Like, what would be the cloud answer? I want to know what the cloud answer would be with that.
The cloud answer has no words. Oh man. I struggle to express myself in English and just words in general sometimes. That's why I love metaphors and I love analogies. And it's just a sense of,
Okay. Challenge. Can you paint us a picture? Paint us a picture. Let's see. I want to see this.
Just waking up and the first thing that comes to your mind is not where you need to be and what you need to do, but just that feeling of like, damn, these bedsheets feel really good. The weather's great. I'm a healthy person. Everything I need in my life is within arm reach. And whatever today is what I, like, whatever I want today to be, will be. Like that sense of like inner autonomy. And I think there's a word I learned recently, the sovereignty of being with yourself. Feels very royal, very deluxe, very freeing, very like, yeah, just luxury bed sheets is the vibe I get sometimes from it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think you did both justice in the clouds and on earth. That's good. I think that's the vibe. Luxury sheets is the vibe, y'all. we've been talking a while and I think that there is something in our conversation, and oftentimes when we talk, like, I always walk away feeling like, I don't know, like Betty feels like super grounded, or like you've taken time or like thought intentional about, I don't know, how you want to do things differently. And I'm curious for you, has Betty always been the authenticity coach, like one that's championed authenticity, or was this something like that you've had to work towards and like you knew that closer to the end of your time being a project manager?
I have always been this person. I think that's something like people who've met me in second grade till I hope when they meet me when I'm like 88 years old, like it is a consistent, somewhat through line of a consistent experience. So I've been actually told by a lot of folks I used to work with that the coaching, like you said earlier, just makes sense because they saw shades of that early on, but I didn't see that for myself. I couldn't see that magic in myself until I finally decided that this was what I wanted to do. Because even project management in that field, I have a lot of opinions about what healthy project management looks like as well. And I think I started that journey from a place of, okay, a PM is behind the scenes. You're a task manager. You need to be omnipresent, remember all the things. And towards the end of my career, I realized as a PM, we know nothing and everything at the same time. So what we really provide is that ability to wayfind and to get a whole group of people to move in the same direction at the same time. And that takes a lot of coaching skills to do, but it was done under a different umbrella. And now I'm able to do it with a much more intentional vibe. So maybe that's how I'm sharing through that versus before is just like, I'm trying my best to get everyone in the same place. Like herding cats is the phrase we use a lot in project management.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Cause I've tried to herd cats before. It's impossible. Amazing. What are your values, Betty?
The values I have that I try to like anchor a lot of my practice in is authenticity. No surprise. Whoop, whoop. Also connection. And I haven't quite decided actually to call it connection or bridge. So that's something I'm between right now. I'm someone who's I'm always in between two spaces, meaning I'm an only child, I'm between my two parents, I am between generations as a caregiver for my elders as well. So just always being in that kind of floaty space and seeing both sides. But that's where connection comes in as well. And my last one, which I really adore and I'm trying to embrace more, is called Kintsugi. It is a practice in Japanese. Are you familiar with it? You're nodding, right?
Well, I think you told me about that. And then actually somebody else, I was in like a group and they use this. And I was like, I know that. So yeah, for those who don't know what is
Kintsugi? So Kintsugi, and I'm not Japanese. So like this is, it's not something from my own culture, but it's something I've always admired in Japanese culture is whenever something's broken, Kintsugi is the art of re-piecing together that ceramic piece, but binding it in gold, so it's even stronger than the original form. So there's so much I love about it. Like if you actually look up Kintsugi and do like a Google search around it, you'll see this like beautiful gold infused pottery. And for me, like I'm someone who I love beautiful things. I love beautiful spaces. I love beautiful artwork. It's part of why I do a lot of doodling in my own social media as well. But it's also the thing that's really tender about it and resilient also is we're taking what's broken and rather than just tossing it away, we're making it more beautiful than it ever was before. So that is a huge value in my practice as a coach and as a person. Like how do we honor the supposedly broken or jagged parts of ourselves and still count that in the creation of who we want to become?
Usually I'm not at a loss of words, but I think I'm sitting with a lot of stuff that we talked about because this literally some of the first time I've like processed them out loud. So, nice. but I am last question, maybe last question I'll ask you is, I think I'm trying to change it because I've asked this question about, I'll just ask that question. What are you excited to share with the world?
Can I choose to modify that question?
Yeah, go ahead. I do this all the time.
Because I want to modify just because I'm like, I'm not sure if excited is the feeling fully yet. It's, I would say, like one of my scared to share with the world because it does feel bigger than me and bigger than my lifetime. It is just this like, I would say tangibly, it is the gentle leadership, right? Just gentleness, being able to get in touch with the side of us that actually gives a shit and cares about each other and let that be the front. Let that be how we show up first as opposed to everything else. And that requires so much practice in my own life to do that feels scary and very vulnerable every time. But walking away from that experience, I'm always excited and I want to do more of that. So that is, yeah, just like putting a stake in gentleness and love and actually just finding a way that really means something for us, right? Like I know you and I, outside of other conversations, I have fun little ideas called like potato days and mini retirements where I just like, I really want to break how we've been doing everything so far and just like create more of that space for ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. So now you have to explain potato day or days. And then you got to explain the mini retirements. Cause I told Linz and like Linz lovingly calls you potato bedding. She's literally met you once, but
I love it.
But like, it's literally her favorite thing. Like she schedules them. We have at least one. She has at least one a week, like legitimately, where I'm like, she's like not doing anything. Yeah. Sleeps in extra long, coffee, makes whatever food we want. Or we actually usually go out to get food those days. Like literally just, nothing. Yeah. So she loves it. So you got to tell folks what potato
that
day is.
That warms my heart so, so much. Thank you, Liz. Thank you for helping this idea stay alive. potato day.
Yes.
Okay. So I love this thing. I don't actually fully remember the origin of potato days anymore, but I think it's just being someone who never really, I always felt like I was intentioned with the whole 9-to-5 life, right? I was like, I'm a late owl. my creativity strikes at a different time, my clarity strikes at a different time, usually what feels like hours later from the original conversation. But I just realized like I wanted to honor what shows up whenever it shows up. And I was like, how cool would it be if like I just scheduled this time to let whatever wants to show up. So I call it potato days because I think originally the intention was to give myself permission to just like be a couch potato. It's like, I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be productive today. I just want to watch TV and like slump into my couch and like just enjoy that. Cause
yes,
it's always a different feeling when you give yourself permission to do something versus like, oh, I got like 10 minutes or I can only do this for an hour and then I got to run and do the next thing. So giving that spaciousness to myself was like a form of self-care. But I've actually been adopting it as just like a way to build long-term resilience. And this is actually credit to my project manager days. Like the thing I used to always tell my team is, as project managers, you can only plan so much, right? Like a boxing term is like, everyone's got a plan if they get punched in the face. I do think that's true, right? Yeah. So it's like, we can make plans all day and exhaust ourselves. But the thing that really needs to happen is leaving that breathing space for whatever life has to show up. So I noticed project plans always did better when we build in buffer. But for me, like as an entrepreneur, I'm like, I know my energy levels, well, better now as I intentionally learn about them. Can I actually pre-schedule these beautiful potato days so I have something to look forward to, get my rest? And if you want to, get some work done and then feel ahead for the next week. So that's what a potato day is. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before how like, what? It feels impossible. How do I get a potato day? Start small, people. Like get a potato hour in and then do a potato half day. And then this is actually going to segue into mini retirements, which our coach, Carissa, helped me connect the dots. I'm like, my next jam is a potato year because what I would love to see everyone do, like just everyone outside of the United States, every generation, is to start taking what I call mini retirements, meaning like you take a year for yourself and step away from work, step away from duties and obligations, whatever that shape and form takes for you. And you do it every decade of life, right? You can plan for it, save up for it, dream about it, and so forth. And again, it could just be sitting around getting some house chores done or just watching TV. And honestly, it's a year. You're going to get to do a lot of different stuff, either really high energy or low energy as well. But the reason why I came with that is because I am doing a lot of caretaking. I do have a lot of folks who are like decades older than me in my life. And the complaint I hear again and again usually falls into two buckets. One is like, I finally retired and I don't know what to do with my life right now, right? Because you've been working for decades nonstop that like, it's like shedding skin and becoming another person. Like you feel so lost at a time when you're supposed to feel so free. Like that breaks my heart a little bit to hear every time. The other regret I hear often from these folks is, man, I wish I took that vacation, you know, like years ago, my 20s, and done that hike when I was in my 20s or before I had my kids or before XYZ, like. And I do think like with every decade or what I call like every season of our life, we just have a different mix of ability and experience and like people around us at that time. So like, how do we actually pause enough to really give ourselves the space to be present and joy and like build up that gratitude, build up that joy for ourselves so that we can keep going and keep being better people for the next decade, rather than like the trope of like, you know, I'm going to work until I become a grumpy old lady and then I'm going to retire and I have no idea what I want to do for all my time now. Cause I don't even know what it means to stop. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. Like literally, literally don't know what it means not to work.
So that is mini retirements to be determined / rebranded as potato year. I have not trademarked this. So anyone listening, please hold off until I have time in the trademark.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. No, like I love that idea, like the potato year. I think me and Lynn are still bouncing around the idea of like what a sabbatical would look like for us. Yeah, that. I mean, I guess we will rebrand that instead of sabbatical. We'll just call it like
potato year.
Dumas potato year or something like that. I don't know. There's just all kinds of things that we're playing with. But I think the world is our oyster, or are potato. Yeah. And so, dad joke. All right. Anyways, Betty, thank you so much. This was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for rocking with all even the tech issues beforehand. I really appreciate it. But is there anything that you'd want to share? I also want to give you the opportunity for folks to where they can they find you, connect with you, potentially work with you, all the things. Because you're dope as fuck. And I want people to follow all that stuff, fam.
Well, I appreciate you just being so generous with inviting folks like myself on. And like, I love our conversations. They always go very philosophical, but also really practical. Because I know and I trust us to be like, yes, that insight, we're going to apply it to our life like Lindsay actually during potato days every week, which is incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But in terms of like where folks can find me, my website is heybettychan.com, like saying hello to me, Hey Betty Chan. You'll find a lot of my coaching and workshop insights over there, just like in terms of what my past clients have experienced and what you can gain from it as well. But other than that, I'm mostly found on Instagram at Coach Betty Chan, and my LinkedIn, which is just my full name, Betty Chan, where that's where you'll really find me sharing more from like an everyday, not posting every day from, but from like the everyday life perspective around, what it takes to be authentic and what are the struggles in getting there? Because it is not an easy thing to do in this world.
Well, fantastic, Betty. Thank you so much. Y'all tap in. Betty's dope. And always post some deep, insightful stuff. And you're so right, Betty. Like, I'm not one to just take a philosophical conversation and just leave it there, like in the clouds. Like, I'm like, what can I practically bring from this? Like, what does this mean in my everyday life? I'm always doing that. So, and I hope my listeners are too. Anyways, this is so fun. You have a wonderful rest of your evening, Betty. And I'll talk to you soon.
Good. Bye, Johnny.